And welcome to Revitalize and Replant with Tom Rainer, where we equip churches to move from declining to thriving by pointing them to a new future and a new hope. Revitalize and Replant is brought to you by the North American Mission Board.
Welcome to episode number 97 of Revitalize and Replant. My name is Tom Rainer. I'm joined by Jonathan, the voice, Hal. Right now, we're both in the Nashville area. I'm in Franklin, and he's in Nashville, so we're about 23, 24 miles away from each other. And Amy J, as most of the time she is, he's in the Richmond, Virginia area in the production booth. And we're glad to be here to talk to you about some more generational issues. Just to give you an update, we are doing a generational series, both on Revitalize and Replant and our sister podcast, Rainer on Leadership. So the entirety of this week is a generational series, and in the show notes and all three of our podcasts, we have some resources that we have available on generations and from millennials and Gen Z. And I think that I think you might want to look at those and just check them out. But I hope that you enjoy this entire series this week, even as we're going with two of our different podcasts to talk about generations. And Jonathan, today we're going to be talking about a church without kids. Now, you wouldn't know what a church without kids is because everywhere you go, you carry four with you.
Yes, I do. I don't know a life without kids. So
it's been a while.
It's been more than 15 years.
So you know, yes. I haven't said anything about the number of kids you had in a long time, ever since I got some kind of snarky comment or talking about you having too many kids. But you only have four. I mean, that's not like it.
No, it's great. And I love it. People with big families, you're not going to get any shame from me.
Your oldest,
how old? 15.
You have a 15-year-old?
I do.
Wow. And you know my oldest will be turning 40 next year.
Yes, because so will I.
Oh, yes. Oh.
He does not have a 15-year-old, so.
Sam married a little bit later in life. Now I have four great-grandkids. Not great. I have four wonderful grandkids from that family, starting with Maggie and all the way to a foster child that's about to be adopted. So it's very, very cool. Anyway, we're talking about kids. And one of the things that we hear often among churches in need of revitalization, churches that are really struggling, one of the things that we hear often is, how do we reach kids? We don't have any kids. And typically, they think that there's a silver bullet. We'll be talking about that. It's in the context of this podcast. But if you are a church in revitalization, and maybe you have zero kids or you have few kids, maybe one of the common questions you have is, how can we get younger? Or specifically, how can we reach kids? And we'll talk about that. Jonathan will share maybe eight ways that they can approach it.
So we got eight ways we're going to discuss today. And first thing is, you need to abandon the fleeting hope of a silver bullet pastor.
Yep. Talked with the church about a week ago, church leaders. What we need is a young pastor to bring in young families. Well, guess what? If you're not reaching young families right now, you're probably not going to reach them with this pastor, because you are basically saying the pastor is a hired hand to do the work of ministry. And if you just think getting a younger pastor is a silver bullet, well, just listen to Daniel M. There are no silver bullets. That, in case you missed that, that's the name of his book.
We'll put
that,
a very good book too.
Yeah, we'll put that in the show notes as well. Even though it's not necessarily about generations, it's certainly about silver bullets. And if you just think, okay, we got to go find a pastor. I know a church that still has a lot of money and hardly any people, and they don't understand why they can't just go out and hire someone at a good salary, and then they'll get some young people. And they've tried one pastor who's young, and guess what? It didn't work. And so they fired that pastor, and now they're going to try to hire someone else. That's just not the silver bullet that works.
Yes. And you can't not just look at the pastor and think that they're the silver bullet, but the children's minister or the student minister. You got to abandon the fleeting hope that one of them is a silver bullet.
All right, you're married to a children's minister.
I am. Happily.
Has Beth ever commented on that reality? Has someone ever interviewed her and with the hopes of getting young kids just because they have a good children's minister?
No, she hasn't been in that specific situation, but it has kind of been insinuated to her of, our children's ministry needs to grow. We need more kids. What are you doing to reach more kids? And she's looking at him going, hey, it's not really, my kids can't drive, you know, third graders can't drive themselves to church.
Great so point.
You've got to reach their parents if you want to reach their kids. And, yes. And that was the key. It's like, you're looking at me expecting me to just magically make kids show up. And I guess that was the case possibility, you know, in some instances in the past because of bus ministry.
Yep.
But rare to find a church with a legitimate bus ministry these days. That just doesn't happen anymore. And the way churches have gone to the suburbs and gotten away, it's not like they can, a lot of churches are able to move, or I'm sorry, a lot of kids are able to walk or come on their own type, like maybe in the past where if a church was in a more of a city setting around in a neighborhood type thing. So, yeah, that's where that question has been lobbed at her. It's the, what are you doing to get more kids to show up? And she's just looking at him going,
that makes sense. You
know, third graders don't drive.
That makes a lot of sense. And you think about bus ministries. If you were to do a bus ministry day, and I think there's still a few churches that do that, the liability potential is huge.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to take your kid away and then bring them back. And wow, just think of all the implications of that from a liability point of view these days. I mean, it's doubtful that you can get release forms from everybody in a bus ministry. And if you can, it still does not absolve you of all the liabilities. So that's a big issue. And so expecting that children's minister or that student pastor, whatever case may be, expecting them to bring in the young people, student pastor may be a little bit easier, but, again, you should not put the onus of responsibility upon a hired hand. It won't work.
Yeah, and even in the student pastor area, if you're expecting your church to grow just because you're getting more kids to youth group, that's a fleeting hope as well. It's good, and we do see that student groups can grow without the parental involvement, and their, you know, students can bring friends, can come with friends, those kind of things. That does happen, but that's not a long-term solution. That's a short-term flash in the pan kind of thing. And a lot of times, and this is not the case every time, but whenever we see children's ministries or student, I'm not really children's ministries, but student ministries that are blowing up, a lot of times it's more based on the charismatic personality of the leader rather than really gospel relationships. You know, the word of warning there.
Yep. There you go.
All right. Number three, you got to stop the blame game.
Let's think about some of the common blame games. One is blame the community. These people know where we are. If they want to come to a church, they can come to our church. Or, you know, we have people visit from the community and they just don't come back. I don't know what's wrong with them. Or the blame game, the pastor is supposed to be reaching people. We need to get that pastor straighter. Let him go. And the responsibility resides with him. Or, gosh, this worship, you know, it's I don't understand why people don't like our worship, and it's good enough for us. Why isn't that good enough for the community? We've heard them all, Jonathan. And when we have Mark, the International Harvester Hat Clifton, on here, we hear those very regularly. That it's not, you know, really the first thing that we need to do outside of prayer, which we'll get to in number eight. First thing that we need to do outside of prayer is just accept the reality of where we are and stop saying it's someone else's fault.
All right. Number four, they need to connect with millennial parents. That kind of goes back to what I was talking about a little bit earlier. You need to be connected to those parents.
How do you do that? How about boomer? What if you just started mentoring a millennial? It doesn't have to be a formal relationship. Started having coffee with a millennial. You're probably going to find out that it's likely that millennial is married, that millennial has kids. All right, boomer, whether you're retired or still going to work somewhere on a regular basis, say a coworker is millennial, get to know that person. Invite them to church and take them under your wing. Look, connect with millennial parents, and that's where you'll find the young families bringing the young children in, not with the motive that we need more young people in our church, with the genuine motive to care for people. So, Jonathan, you mentioned this very, very well right at the beginning, is that if you want to reach the young people, the kids, the students, you have to connect with the parents first of all. And I'm not in children or student ministries, but I know good children's ministers like Beth. That's what they're constantly repeating and saying. We got to reach the parents.
Yes, and that also means that other ministries in the church need to take that into consideration as well. You can't just put that all on the children's ministry, because you have to provide classes and discipleship opportunities, and like you said, the mentoring opportunities for the parents too. So it really takes a church effort, not just something that you just throw over onto the children's minister or the youth minister or whatever it may be.
Yep, you're exactly right. So we talked about some of the things that you should not do, and the first three were really don't do these. Don't think you can go get a silver bullet pastor. Don't think that you can go get a silver bullet children or student minister, and stop blaming others for the fact that you don't have younger people in your church. But from this point forward, maybe with the exception of one, for most of these going forward, we are going to be talking about some things you can do.
Number five, be reminded that many millennials have a missional mindset.
Ooh, that's a good alliteration, John.
I know. Did you do a tongue twister there.
Many millennials have a missional mindset. Can you say that real like 10 times real quickly? Burger King commercial. Many millennials have a missional mindset. Looking at the show notes, I didn't realize how alliterative that was. Now, what does that mean? That means, look, you've got a probably an older church. You probably have an older facility. You may even have a deteriorating facility that just does not have all of the attractive things of the larger church down the road or across town. And you're saying, how are we going to ever reach these people? Here's something you need to realize. When you connect, for example, if you're a boomer or a builder and you connect with a millennial and you tell them, we have this church and we're ready to reach the community. Look, we don't have all the bells and whistles of a lot of church, but we're ready to connect with the community. Many of these millennials will take that as a challenge. They'll take that as an opportunity. They will take that as a missional mindset moment. How's that for alliteration?
There you go.
Mindset moment. And they will then say, okay, we're on board. Instead of apologizing for the condition your church is in and the lack of young people, go to these millennials and say, hey, help us go on mission to try to reach people. We want you to join us as well. Understand that the millennials will really, really begin to get enthused about that. And you don't have to apologize. You can be on partner with them in ministry and in mission.
All right, number six, you can seek a short-term transplant from another church.
This happens on rare occasions, but it can happen. I know of one pastor in a revitalization situation. It almost became a replant. They almost thought about closing it down and being acquired by another church. But before they did that, they wanted to try one thing. Again, it's rare, but it can happen. And this pastor went to a pastor of a larger church in town and said, would you consider sending us four families with children that would be willing to come to our church for a year? And the whole purpose of their coming is to help our people, not just to do it themselves, not to bring in people that are going to do all the work, but to work with our people. And we have a presence of children because the children are here for a year. And then you work with our people to try to reach others. In this particular situation, the pastor was gracious. He recruited four families that said, yeah, we'll be happy to go on mission. By the way, all four families were led by millennial parents. Going back to number five, many millennials have a missional mindset. And they came into the church. And they stayed for a year, and they reached a lot of younger families. And what happened with that particular church, two of the families went back after their one-year service. Two of the families stayed because they really got connected with the church. That is an ideal scenario. I don't want to suggest to churches in need of revitalization that is easy or that larger churches are willing to do that, but it is something to be considered. But do not look at that transplanted group as the ones who are going to do all the work. You have to be on partnership. You have to be on mission with them. And please don't send me an email and say, where can I find one of those churches that will give me four families? you, you, you do that work as well. So, but it is a possibility, Jonathan. It is something that can happen.
Yeah, and I would also add, don't treat them as like the token young people in the group or in the church.
So true. So true. Integrate them into the full life of the church as if they're one of you.
Yeah. All right. And then number seven, give up the idols of tradition and personal preference. This is a lot easier said than done.
I have been gratified. This week, we're doing generational week. We're having a generational series in both Rainer on Leadership and on Revitalize and Replant. We're talking about the boomers, the millennials, and we're talking about richer millennial families with kids, if you don't already have kids. Not too long ago, Jonathan, we went on Death Watch. We had autopsy week. Hey, it really went kind of well. You know that?
It did. It was a little morbid, but it did.
Yeah, sometimes the shows were a little dead, but other than that, it went fine. And I got to tell you, I have been, this sounds self-promoting, but so be it. I have been so gratified with wherever I go. As I mentioned in a recent podcast, I just got back from a time with the Christian Missionary Alliance and their biannual convention. I was in Orlando speaking to them, so I want to give them another shout out. And I don't know how many people came up to me and they would name a book that was influential to them. And so many of them said Autopsy of a Deceased Church. And they said it was just the eye opener for their leadership. And I said, tell me what happened. And they didn't phrase it exactly this way, but the most common response was, it helped our church to give up the idols of tradition and personal preference. And again, I'm just repeating number seven, but they saw that if they continued in the direction that they're continuing, that they're currently going, that they would be a church that would be dead and there would be a possible autopsy performed on it to see why they died. So we'll put autopsy in the show notes. We have both the book and we do have a video series on that.
Yeah, we have
too.
A video study guide on that. Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll put both of those in the show notes as well. Again, this is self-serving, but we've just heard of so many churches that have used autopsy to wake you up or to get people to see that, like, okay, we're dealing with these idols and we need to stop doing that. And we're not going to have any chance of reaching young people until we stop holding on to things that God does not want us to hold on to.
All right. And then finally, you need to pray, pray, then pray again.
We could have put this as number one, but it should be number one. The early church began with a prayer meeting. The early church exploded with the power of prayer. By the time you get to Acts 6, the early church has a conflict with the Grecian and Hebraic Jews, the widows, and they are dealing with the conflict through prayer and the ministry of the word. We at Revitalize and Replant and our sister podcast, Rainer on Leadership, have a lot of practical information, but we need to deal with the theological, the spiritual reality that methodologies do not turn churches around. God in His Spirit turns churches around. And if we believe that reality, if we embrace that reality, that means that we are going to be in communication with Him on a regular basis. And we've talked countless times about prayer ministries. We've talked about pray and go. We've talked about a lot of things about prayer. But if your church really is serious about reaching, if your church is really serious about reaching young people, one of the things that you should do is you should bring together people to pray about that, not just to reach young people, but just to be the church that God wants you to be. I was mentioning the group in Orlando, the CMA biannual convention, and I did take a few questions from the audience, and I wish I could remember where she was from, but one lady mentioned that they are in the midst of what looks like is going to be a successful revitalization. It's still early. I think she said they had 20 or 30 people, but they're beginning to see hope. And I said, what did you do? And she said, we have this number of people, I don't remember the precise number, coming together for prayer. And she says, on a certain day of the week, at a certain time, everybody gets a notice on their smartphone to pray. And so they're all praying simultaneously for the revitalization of their church. And they're beginning to see young people come in as well. So that was just a real life story where prayer is the impetus behind this revitalization. So when we talk about reaching young families, there's some things that you got to stop doing. You got to stop looking for a silver bullet pastor. You got to stop looking for a silver bullet children's minister, student minister. You got to stop the blame game, and you've got to give up the idols of tradition and preference. But there's some things you can do. You can connect with millennial parents. You can really work with millennials who have a mission mindset. You might even be able to get a short-term transplant from another church. But above all, you can pray, pray, and pray again. It can be done. It has been done. And it is very possible for your church as well. Thank you, North American Mission Board, for allowing us to talk about such things as Revitalize and Replant, because without your sponsorship, we would not even be here to talk about all things revitalization and replanting.
Yes, Revitalize and Replant is sponsored by the North American Mission Board and churchreplanters.com. More than 10% of churches in North America are at risk of closing, and the North American Mission Board is committed to reversing this trend by decreasing the death rate of existing churches while simultaneously increasing the birth rate of new ones. To learn more about what it means to become a replanting pastor or to explore resources for replanting and revitalization in your own church, visit churchreplanters.com.
Once again, thank you for joining us at Revitalize and Replant. And as Jonathan said, thank you, North American Mission Board, for your sponsorship. And we'll continue this revitalization series on our sister podcast, Rainer on Leadership. So allow us to go through this this whole thing on generations and how you can revitalize your church through generational realities. And I think that as we listen to this, we're seeing a lot of hope. Join us as we continue not only to point out reality, but to point toward the one hope in Jesus Christ, who is revitalizing churches across the world. And we will continue revitalizing churches for greater health together.
Thanks for joining us today on Revitalize and Replant with Tom Rainer. If you'd like to learn more about re-energizing your church to reach your community, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes or Google Play or in your favorite podcasting app. For additional resources on church leadership and to join the conversation online, visit TomRainer.com, where we are growing healthy churches together.